Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, June the 9th, 2016. 1:13 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a beautiful day out there. Scott Spears along with you on the Now program. We certainly thank the conversation we were having in hour number one in regard to the call from Senator Sherrod Brown and the things going on in our country today. If you have anything you'd like to say in regard to anything Senator Sherrod Brown said in hour number one or anything that was said during the call-in discussion we had, give us a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We also did the interview yesterday with Kathleen Willey. That was a very interesting interview, to say the least. I hope people enjoyed that. If you have any thoughts on that one, give me a call, 740-383-9944. And again, Kathleen Willey was the woman who in 1998 accused Bill Clinton of sexual assault. And yesterday we had what I'm going to say was a very interesting interview, to say the least. So if you have any thoughts on that, give me a call. 740-383-9944. Did want to mention, Marion Midget football signups are tonight. Hold on, we're going to get back to that in just one second. Hey, you're live on WWGH Radio. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon.
I think the last 2 days I've heard myself on the radio.
Oh, have you?
By that, I mean the people on there, In two cases, pretty much matched what I'd experienced or expressed.
Now, for those listening in, which were those?
Okay, it was the fellow you talked to in the last thing there, and about how he is not going to vote for Trump.
Yes,
but he's also not going to vote for Hillary because, frankly, neither one of them are a real pick.
But he was a Trump supporter at one point.
Okay, now I was never that, but I've been a very, very lukewarm Hillary acceptor, I guess. Not a supporter, but an acceptor.
But
I don't know.
But you will vote for Hillary, correct?
I won't vote for anybody.
Oh, so now you're out too?
I'm out.
Okay.
I'm not going to waste my time running out to the thing. I might run out to vote for the senators, but I'm not going to vote for either one of those.
Now, you like
Strickland. Yeah, he and the thing I one of the prime reasons for that are the anti-Strickland commercials. They brought the big deal about what 20 cents in the rainy day fund. He had no choice.
Well, you know,
he had to spend that money because he had to balance the budget.
You know something that's interesting. And people can disagree with me, and consider this any way you like it. Something came to me the other night, because all along during this election, I really did just assume, trying to be very straight about it on the radio, and just playing a counterpoint to whoever I had on, I really did think that Donald Trump had his positives and Donald Trump had his negatives, and Hillary had her positives and Hillary had her negatives, and people were going... But it was based on genuine things and ideas and reasons. Now, with Donald Trump, I do still see that. Because obviously, it's very interesting today that Sean, as well as the caller, both said now they are... Well, Sean said he's going to Hillary now. And the caller there said he just won't vote at all. So, Trump lost two votes here. Now, That's interesting, and what does that depict just based on this Mexican thing? But the thing I saw with Hillary the other night that bothered me to a great extent, and I do understand people don't like her, and I understand that if you qualify yourself as a Republican, you're probably not going to vote for her, or you're going to stay home, or you dislike her for whatever reasons you dislike her. But something that gave me a whole different mindset on the whole Hillary situation was Tuesday night. Now, like it or dislike it, she is the first woman ever to be nominated by a major party to run for president. If you open up the history books, Democrat and Republican, you are the first name you're going to see running for president. We don't know if she's going to win yet, but irregardless, the first name you're going to see for the rest of time in memoriam until we're all gone is going to be Hillary Clinton. Now, that being said, not only that, She's also a former two-term first lady, which adds a little bit to that. She also is the first lady of the United States to run for political office after being first lady and win. And she's also the only former first lady who went on to hold political office, who became the third most powerful person in an administration, and a lot of people say even more powerful than the vice president, the secretary of state. She is, like her or hate her as a human being, think the Secret Service can think she's horrible, got the worst personality, can't give a speech, whitewater, all this garbage. The other night I'm watching this, and I'm thinking about that. Now, that's not swaying me to vote one way or another, but that people are still dinging her and couldn't even give her that moment. That should have been a moment this country celebrated. And I said the same thing with Obama. I said, like him, hate him, vote for him or not. Because McCain, to me, is a war hero. If you voted for McCain, I certainly don't dislike you. But you should have taken note that the fact that we nominated for president in the first time in the history of this country, 250 years, an African-American was a big deal. The fact that he won was a bigger deal. But the fact that this woman, who is a former first lady, did that, and they couldn't even give her a minute to breathe, the Republican pundits, I thought was disgraceful. I thought for 24 hours, give the woman her due.
You know, as I expressed before, I voted for Obama in the first time around because he was black. But afterwards, and I thought he did a decent job and still doing a decent job. But I didn't vote for him the second time because I thought the other fellow was more agreed with what I politically liked, you know, what I preferred. And I think Romney would have been a good president. But I think to vote for her simply because she's a woman is as wrong as voting for her for Obama because he was black.
No, I don't think anybody should vote. If you really don't like Hillary and don't want to vote for her, I don't think you should. And I don't think anybody should.
The thing that always gets me about Hillary is even in petty things, she can't tell the truth. She can't come out and say, oh, I did it and stuff.
Well, but she did, though, in the...
No. So many minor things.
Well, give me one.
Okay, the landing in Bosnia.
Right, and she did come back and say that wasn't true.
But why did she say it in the first place?
Right, but what you said was she can't come back and say that it wasn't true, but she did.
No, what I'm saying is she shouldn't have lied in the first place.
Well, that's true. I give you that.
The deal about... Benghazi. It was all because there wasn't anything against us. It was that guy that had the stupid movie, and that's the cause.
Right.
It was a total lie.
But she has said she's wrong. And I do want to point out.
But apologizing for lying, I'm sure that Brian Williams.
Absolutely.
Said, I feel bad about it. And I admit I was wrong. That doesn't change the fact that a lie was there.
I'll give you that, but what I would like to say is, and again, this will come off as Hillary supporting, and if people really knew how I felt, it wouldn't be that. But again, if somebody's negative toward Hillary, I'm playing a counterpoint, because history is based on a set of facts. Mm-hmm. And the set of facts here is, if we're talking about government officials who have lied, now the two instances you just brought out, she did come back and say I was wrong. Now, mm-hmm. Let's go back to... Watergate. Nixon never apologized for that. And I also would love to go back, which was something we didn't find out for 30 years, the Gulf of Tonkin, Secretary of State McNamara, under Johnson. This is the whole reason we got into the Vietnam War was the Gulf of Tonkin assault.
And we were already involved.
Well, but this was what amped it up.
Yeah.
Amped it up big time. It was given as the reason for amping it up. And how many people died in that war? And McNamara later on goes to Harvard in early 2001, and there is a documentary that was done on this before he died, and it's called Fog of War, where McNamara says, it not only was it not as big as people thought, it never happened. It was a total lie.
Yes.
And George W. Bush, Colin Powell, Colin Powell's never said, he said it's the worst moment I've ever had in my life, where I went and told a lie, but he didn't say I lied. George W. Bush has never said I lied. Dick Cheney's never said I lied. We know those things aren't true. I guess my point is...
I don't know that at the time he made it that Bush didn't honestly believe that there were weapons there.
If we come on this program and we say that we should not worry about North Korea because we have intelligence that would intercept his missiles, then we certainly have intelligence that would tell us if Saddam Hussein really had weapons of mass destruction.
Some of the stuff that they found was sort of looked like it could have been.
Yeah, but I don't think we need to go to war with a sovereign nation who didn't ask for our help and didn't attack us. By the way, that was another lie. Whether you want to talk about weapons of mass destruction, the big lie was ties to Al-Qaeda. Now, he certainly knew that wasn't true.
That's true.
So, that being said...
aren't they the ones that tried to kill his dad?
They are. And that, you know what? If that's the reason he did it, I can understand it. But he lied about it.
Yeah.
So the point being is Hillary is not the first one. And all I'm saying is I'm not trying to coax anybody to vote for Hillary. I'm not trying to say you should vote for Hillary, just like I'm not saying people should have voted for Obama. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is what the woman has done is a big deal. Tuesday night was a big deal. And yet we in this country could not celebrate it because it was Hillary Clinton. And I think give the woman her due because people did vote for her. Maybe you didn't. Maybe I didn't. A lot of people didn't. But people did. And that's why she's there. And it is historic that less than 100 years after women got the right to vote, that a woman did this. She happens to be the woman. You know what? If it had been Sarah Palin, if it had been Geraldine Ferraro, if it had been any of them, I would be saying the same thing today. I really don't care about Republican or Democrat on this issue.
I tell you, Sarah Palin was the main reason I did not vote for Obama instead of McCain.
But I honestly...
She was such an idiot.
If Barbara Bush ran for office after her term was over... and won a Senate seat, became Secretary of State, and then became the first woman to get a major party's nomination for president, I would be celebrating Barbara Bush just for that accomplishment. Not necessarily voting for her, but celebrating her. But people can't even give Hillary that. And to say all this, well, the reason I'm saying this is my thing as of Tuesday night. People really aren't voting for her for all the reasons they're saying. People just have, it's Democrat-Republican garbage. And I really don't like that. Because you could think, in moments like that, this country could come together. The Republicans don't have to vote for her. They don't even have to like her. But you certainly have to appreciate what she's been able to accomplish.
Yeah.
I mean, am I wrong on this one?
Well... yeah, I'm fully in favor of a woman for president, period. I just don't think it should have been Hillary.
Well, it might not.
I think we certainly, Elizabeth Dole would have been a much better president than Robert, you know, husband.
Hillary might not be. She hasn't won the thing yet, and I'm not saying she will. I'm just saying 2 days ago, a big thing happened in this country. You know, a lot of people didn't like Kennedy. He didn't win his election very narrowly, but the fact that he was the first Catholic to get that type of nomination was a big deal.
I had another nominated. Al Smith was nominated.
Right. Well, but Geraldine Ferraro, I think that should have been celebrated. But we can't get off of our party lines. We can't put our hatred aside for just a minute. So to me, that's why I say I don't think it's issue-oriented.
Reagan's wife, Nancy, died.
Yeah.
Hillary came on and praised her and about her help and AIDS, you know, against AIDS and stuff like that. And people came on and criticized her. I thought that was totally out of thing. She was trying to say something nice about somebody who just died. And these idiots, oh no, my gosh, Reagan didn't really do that, and he drug his feet on AIDS. That's nonsense.
Well,
And which is pretty much to your point, too.
Well, I tell you something, yeah, you're right, but interestingly enough, and I'll give Ronald Reagan every credit that he deserves it at, there's actually weird timing. There's a show tonight on CNN, the 80s, that's all focused in on AIDS.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it will show that Reagan did kind of ignore it. But that being said, you're right. Hillary was trying.
Everybody wanted that to go away.
Right, yeah. But some people were starting to wear the ribbons. Cindy Lauper did True Colors. Donahue had that boy on who did the quilt.
Oh, yeah, the kid from Kokomo.
Yeah, Rock Hudson came out. Liberace, we found out he died of that. All during Reagan's term, and he couldn't get there. But he did have good... I don't want to diss on Ronald Reagan here. All I want to say is what you said is exactly right. Hillary was trying to give Nancy Reagan a compliment, and they piled on Hillary.
Away thing, you know?
And they piled on. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if Hillary, if it is on issues. With Donald Trump, it's issues. Because today, Sean and the last caller both said it was the Mexican thing that put them over the edge. That's an issue.
I've got to call you on that. You're the fellow that all along is saying that because he's from New York, that he couldn't possibly be a bigot. He's shown his colors. He is a bigot.
Why, well, you know...
You were wrong to assume that being from New York... made him not a bigot.
Well, here's the thing. To this day, even after the Mexican thing, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think the man is bigoted. Because he was around people like Muhammad Ali. His group did appeal to, he has hired people of that nature. I just think he's playing to a bigoted group. Donald Trump is a weird kind of businessman. I mean, we all know he gave money to the Clintons' campaign. And he'll tell you he did, and he did so he could get political favors. And he did it with other campaigns, too, Democrat and Republican. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that makes you a bigot. I think that makes you an opportunist. I don't think the man walks down the streets of New York, and if there's an African-American or a Mexican, he says, get away from me. I think that he is using this. Because he's, you know what, even after the Mexican thing, he's still got 49% of the country who will vote for him no matter what. So is 49% of the country who votes bigoted? Maybe. And he's playing to that. But I don't think the man himself is. Just like George Wallace. George Wallace saw the light. You know, did he just see the light, or did he just change his mind when it was no longer politically expedient?
He grew old and feeble. That was the whole thing. Now, by feeble, I mean, you know, he wasn't able to get around, and he realized that what he said before was totally wrong.
Right, and you know...
The fact of, you know...
I have a
segregation now, segregation forever.
I have a sneaking suspicion that when this campaign is over, if Donald Trump does not win, you're going to hear a lot of the same things out of Trump's mouth rather quickly. About Muslims, about Latinos, about African Americans. I think he's doing this for political reasons. And as sad as that is to say, do I think the man is bigoted? Look at his wife. No, I don't think he's bigoted. But do I think he's playing to a bigoted area? Sure. And it's unfortunate. It does say something about his character.
Oh, yes.
But I can't say that the man is bigoted. I don't know that. I don't know.
Somebody in today's paper referred to him as the Archie Bunker of our times.
Exactly, and maybe that is it. Maybe it's a show. And that's what I think more of it is. I think it's a show. I think he's a showman. You know, Reagan did not do a lot for African Americans. Reagan did not do a lot for people with AIDS. But I don't think Reagan was a bigot.
Oh, no.
I just think he did... He was playing to a base. Reagan was not a dumb man. He realized he wasn't necessarily helping groups of people. He just was playing to a base that Republicans, evangelicals... you know, isn't it interesting, and we've talked about it before, how after George H.W. Bush lost his election, within 2 years, Barbara Bush wrote a book saying she was pro-choice.
Yeah.
Now, she would never say that during the presidency. Now, she was doing that for George, and that's good of her. But why was she doing that for George? Because she knew darn well if she told people the truth, they would lose the evangelical vote.
Yeah.
And she couldn't afford to do that as a Republican. And I think that's what Donald Trump's doing. I think he knows he can't afford to lose those voters. He's playing to them. Show off Joe Arpaio. I don't think he wants to go to dinner with that guy, but I think he knows he's got to have him. because yeah. that's a Republican thing. I don't think Donald Trump really cares about abortion. He's went both ways on it. I don't think Romney cared about abortion, but you darn well bet he had to come out against it because he needed the evangelicals.
You know, one person I'm really disappointed in here again, I expressed it the other day, was Paul Ryan.
They
showed had a cartoon in the Dispatch that showed him receiving his 30 pieces of silver. Well, I mean, it's one thing to say, okay, I will do my best to make a Republican get there, but at least some of them had integrity. Kasich pretty much saying the guy's a bum and I won't have anything to do with him.
But you know, I had such respect for Paul Ryan last week when he said, he didn't come out right and endorse him. He just said, I will vote for him, but I don't agree with everything he says.
No, he later endorsed him.
Well, but that's where I had such respect for him on Friday when he said, I'll vote for him, but I don't agree with him, and if he continues to say things I disagree with, I'm going to disagree with him. I thought that to me is a true politician.
That's good.
Yes, and I thought, what praise? And then the guy comes out and says he made a bigoted statement, but yet it's not Hillary, so I'm sticking with him. And I think, here we go again. Here we go.
Anything for the... And the whole thing is that's only hurting the overall government. They would... the Republicans would be better off if they just threw their arms up and took their beating on this.
Well, you know what? I think they would. I honestly believe people like Paul Ryan, and I'm not in their brain, but I think they would not have endorsed Donald Trump and they wouldn't be doing this if the Supreme Court wasn't on the line.
Yeah. Because that's going to affect it for 25 years, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's a big deal for them. But again, I think it does come back to the Hillary factor, where they sit there and they say, just because she's Hillary. To me, that's not a good enough excuse. You got to come up with something better there to get me to hate this woman. Like that, did you hear the Kathleen...
I'm reading another book right now that's interesting. It's a biography of Clinton, written while he was in office.
Well, did,
and I'm at the point now when they're talking about Hillary and her.
Well,
pretty interesting.
You said you two people recently. Who was the other one that you agreed with?
The other
with?
Was the doctor.
Doctor. Art. Dr. Yulene. What did he say that you agreed with?
No, I mean, not just agreed. It was almost the same thing I told about my brother.
Oh, yeah.
Dying of Alzheimer's, and he basically, his view of mine of life in the 80s seemed to just dovetail.
Well, I'll tell you, to kind of tie a knot in this, did you hear Kathleen Willey yesterday?
Kathleen Willey, I think you were a little harsher on her. You were.
You think?
Yeah, a little bit.
I let her talk for 45 minutes and barely interrupted.
I know you did. But, again, some of the stuff, didn't you ask her one time if she was labeled insane? Or
I asked her if she was nuts. I did.
Yes, you did.
I did.
She sounded a little squirrely, but... I want to bring something up. I hope you won't be offended by this.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
There's something you say that I wish you'd back off on a little bit, that you just say... you say, that being said, I bet you said that 30 times yesterday. I hope you're not offended by that.
No. You know, that's my way to back out. And I didn't see it's a reporter's thing because I didn't call her nuts. I said, what do you say to people who say you're nuts? And I think that's that being said, because you don't want to say yes or no, because I don't want to agree with her and I don't want to disagree with her.
Yeah.
So I want to say, well, that being said, let's go on. But, you know, to me, I was willing to give her the... I didn't know Kathleen Willey from Adam, and I let her tell her story. But when she started talking about cats on the porch...
Yeah.
And she had... I did not hear one bit of proof in that 45 minutes that Hillary Clinton had done anything to her. Nothing.
But she severely hates Hillary. But, you know, that... the way you said that, though, you know, that that being said thing...
Yeah.
It reminds me of guys like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in their college years when they would have him interviewed after a game. And they'd always say, you know. We were over talking to you know, that, you know, carry like that. It's more of a habit thing.
It could be. It could be.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
No, I don't mind.
But I just got to dig into you a little bit.
I don't mind it at all. Thank you for calling in.
Sure thing.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What did you think of that Kathleen Willey interview yesterday? That was a real tour de force. I don't know. You know, you can dislike Hillary, like Hillary. I still don't know how you'd feel about Kathleen Willey. A little different, to say the least. But you can catch that interview. It'll be replayed here from time to time over the next few weeks. 740-383-9944. What do you think of Sherrod Brown earlier on the show? What do you think of any conversation we have had here today? We've had a couple really good conversations and would continue to like to have them. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Looks like quite a few people might be abandoning Donald Trump because of his comments about the lawyer and the Mexican heritage and the fact that he's from Indiana and things of that nature. Give me a call, 740-383-9944. Whirlpool is hiring 150 people here in Marion. That's going to be very interesting. That'll run on the news tomorrow, so pay attention for that. We'll give you all the details. And again, Marion Midget Football signups are tonight, last night for them this week. 5:30 to 7 p.m., $30 fee. It will be at Lincoln Park behind the concession stand. If you have any questions about Marion Midget Football, you can call Patty Worcester, 740-382-4558. That's 740-382-4558. If you have any questions at all about Marion Midget Football, just dial that number, and you, too, can be part of it. And the legalization of marijuana for medical purposes, that hit you here in Ohio, something new that our governor signed in. Always something interesting going on, and that's the fun thing. Also, don't forget, tomorrow's our big two-year anniversary. Marianne Michaels, Sean Kraft, Terry Tackett, Charlie Evers, Marge Hazelett, and myself here from 12:10 until 1 p.m. tomorrow, talking current events and also sharing memories of the first 2 years of WWGH Radio. Do you have a favorite memory of the first 2 years? Give me a call, 740-383-9944, or a thought about the station in general. Now, yesterday, our Kathleen Willey interview ran a little long, so it won't necessarily play in all of the... we won't be able to get it in all the repeats. So I'm going to play again the last... Let's see here. How long did that run? 55 minutes. I'm going to play the last 8 minutes of that interview from yesterday, in case this is the last 8 minutes of the interview with Kathleen Willey, for those of you who missed it yesterday. Again, phone lines open, 740-383-9944.
Hillary Clinton is not worthy of being president. She's not capable of being president. You haven't, I mean, wait till you hear. I mean, you haven't heard anything yet. I've been working with a man by the name of Charles Ortel, who's been investigating the Clinton Foundation for the last 15 months, and he's uncovered a $100 billion fraud. Of the entire Clinton Foundation is nothing but a fraud.
And if
they have sent. He was made head of the Haiti Fund. $14 billion was sent to Haiti in donations. $13 billion is gone. They are still living in squalor over there. Cholera is everywhere. He and another fraudster who lives in India by the name of Rajat Gupta bribed and this is all proven. This is all proven information. It's documented and proven. That man went to jail. They bribed a pharmaceutical company in India called Ranbaxy, and they were actually sending watered down drugs to Africa for men, women, and children with HIV/AIDS. And here are these people, these poor people, taking this medicine, thinking that it's going to help them live while they are slowly dying. And this is the information that the people in this country need to hear, because Hillary Clinton is into all of that up to her neck. And that is why this FBI investigation is taking as long as it's taken.
Kathleen,
because it was extended into beyond the email server thing into public corruption. And the FBI is following, and that's why they've gotten brought in 125 or 150 more agents to find where all this money is.
Kathleen, that being said, and I'm sure it'll come out, but we're at the end here, and I want to get in one question, because I think people listening at home might be saying that, you know, a lot of presidents have had extramarital affairs. JFK, certainly the man who interested you in politics, was one of them. Eisenhower, we know about that. Johnson, we know about that. Certainly we know about Clinton. Harding, we can go way back. This has happened. And Harding's was with, he had a child with the person who we didn't know about till recently. Now, that being said, and forgive me for asking this, but what people listening to this, if they say, this is a woman who on the same day made these allegations, husband committed suicide, he was involved with nefarious people, you did like Bill Clinton, you obviously are not going to like his wife if you felt toward him in
they
a way.
They had nothing to do with the...
I understand.
Those
just give
people
me.
Had absolutely nothing to do with the intimidation and the terrorizing that happened to me. They had nothing to do with that.
But that being
I've
said...
I've just given you all the information that is proven that it was all started by Hillary Clinton.
Okay, but that being said...
And you could name JFK and Johnson and all of those men, you know, they're all known for their infidelities and all of that. But let me ask you this. How many of their wives went after the women instead of taking their husbands to task? I mean, a concerned wife who is figured, like Hillary Clinton is known before they even got married, that her husband was an addict and a rapist and a serial rapist, you know, would either have divorced him or got him some help.
But that
and instead of doing that, you know, did Jackie Kennedy go after all those women?
For some,
Labor Johnson go after all of those women?
Well,
like I said, who cares? This isn't about all of their infidelity.
Right, but
this is about what this woman who is running for president has done to other women, and here she is proclaiming herself to be a woman's advocate. And I'll just end it with one last question. What kind of a mother threatens the lives of another woman's children purely for her lust for power? That's my question.
But what would you say to people that you are doing this? You are a woman under duress who needs money, who...
I'm managing.
Yeah, but who's doing this?
I'm beyond retirement age. I'm doing the best I can. Yeah, I'm fighting foreclosure, and I've been trying to find. I've had part-time jobs along the way. I've had help from friends along the way. You know, I'm doing the best I can under the circumstances.
Kathleen, do you think people think you're mentally unstable?
Why would you ask that?
Because I think that assertion has been made. I think people listening might say that the stories about the cat. No real hard evidence against the Clintons, because they could be prosecuted. Certainly he was for
money. I just gave you hard evidence against the Clintons.
But why has he never been prosecuted for this? Why is he... Bill Cosby's being prosecuted for things that happened...
Well, who said there are a number of women, there are a number of us out there who could all bring charges of Bill Clinton, you know, again. Who says we can't?
And that may happen.
And let me tell you, it's more than the number of women who have gone public with about Bill Cosby.
Will you go...
Many more women.
That being
said,
will you...
Dolly Kyle's new book.
Well, will you
She'll
go...
She'll tell you about all the women.
Well, that being said, do you plan to go public against Bill Clinton?
Am I mentally unstable? No.
Well, that being said, do you plan to go legal against Bill Clinton at this point?
Do I plan to go legal against him? No, not at this point.
Okay.
I don't want anything to do with either mom. I just don't want her to be president.
But saying...
And I certainly don't want him back in the White House.
But saying negative things...
Hey, where are they going to put him on Bring Your Daughters to Work Day?
But saying negative things like that in media forums and running a website that's devoted to hurting the Clintons is being involved.
It's not... It is a website devoted to keeping her from becoming president.
Right.
She does not deserve to be president.
And you wouldn't
a
consider...
A woman who claims to be an advocate...
But would you...
Under FBI investigation...
But you wouldn't consider...
Pretty terrible... crimes.
But wouldn't you consider that being involved in this campaign? Being involved? You say you don't want nothing to do with it, so you're not going to file charges.
It's called being involved in trying to keep her from becoming president.
Kathleen, we are way over on time, but I do thank you for doing this. I honestly do. Thank you for coming on, and I hope we can talk in the future.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much. Kathleen Will. That's all the time we have today. And that was the interview, maybe the 10 minutes you missed, that went over the allotted time yesterday with Kathleen Willey. Any thoughts on that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or any thoughts on WWGH Radio in our first 2 years of operation, which will be tomorrow, the anniversary date, June 10th, 2014. We went on the air. Tomorrow, June 10th, 2016, 2 years. So, I don't know if I was totally hard there on Kathleen Willey. I don't know how rough I was. I thought those were fair questions. What do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, when you were talking earlier in your last hour with the minimum wage, can you tell me a time in our history where we've ever raised minimum wage over $3 to $5?
I don't know that we raised it from $3 to $5, but in the late 1990s or early 2000s, I can't remember, but it was right around that area, we did go from about $4, high $4, and we went up to $7. It was a pretty good jump.
I thought that it went up from $4 to an even $6. And it was 7.
It could have been, but that's all happened in, what, 10 years?
I agree with you on that part, but the trouble is most of these times when we're talking about raising these things, we're not talking about going anywhere from $3 to $5 a thing. You raise your the minimum wage up to $3 to $5 overnight, and then you were talking about Kroger, a billion-dollar company. Do you think they're just going to say, oh, well, I guess we won't make a billion this year. We'll only be able to make a million. No, there's going to be consequences for that action. I mean, before you said, well, the price of a hamburger only went up 10 cents. Yeah, that's because minimum wage went up a dollar.
Yeah, but wouldn't you also have to say that all the people who will get on here and say that we need to take food stamps away, we need to do with welfare, don't you think that also will have an impact when Kroger or Walmart or Meijer is no longer getting that money?
Well, I'm never one that's going to ever say about the food stamps being done away with, but I agree with the fact that it can be a lifestyle, and some of the people that get on them just never stay off of them, and we're not inclined to kick them off of it. And I think it is time that we have, hey, look, you got so many days that you've got to have a job.
Well,
some states even make you do, and I think Ohio's one of them that does so many hours, but I think to be eligible for food stamps, sorry, you got to have at least 20-hour job, 20 hours a week.
Well, let's say this. The current minimum wage in Ohio, I just looked it up, is $8.10.
Right.
$8.10 times 40 hours a week.
Right.
Now, that's before taxes.
Right.
So we're talking about roughly in the neighborhood of $320 a week gross income. Now, take your taxes out, which are going to be about 25%. So you're going to be down to about, if you're lucky, you might get $240, $250 a week. Can you live on that if you have a child?
Could you ever live on minimum wage, really?
When
minimum wage in 1998 was $4.20, do you think you could really have a family on that?
Well, that's the question. If you can't live
the
on...
The answer is no. It's always been no for minimum wage.
Right, so that's
if these people want to make real money, you got to have... Because the one guy was talking about skilled labor versus unskilled. This is called unskilled, and unskilled labor gets minimum wage.
Well, that, I guess that's my question then. If minimum wage has never been something you could survive on, then why is it the minimum wage? Shouldn't the minimum wage be what you can survive on?
I think the minimum wage should be, for a skilled worker, should be as low as you can pay it. I mean, that's just the way, that was the thought process. And it's always been the thought process ever since our country started it.
So
back in the old West days, you know, the guy that was just stacking the hay didn't make big money. But the guy that was actually a horseman that actually put shoes on the horse, well, he made good money. Because why? He was a skilled worker.
Right. So, but I guess my question is, why in the richest country in the world, and we are the richest country in the world, we certainly have the most freedoms, why in the world is our minimum wage always been set below the cost of living?
I guess that might be a good question. It's just the fact that I guess I look at it a little bit different. I look at it that, look, if you want to go out and actually make a real wage and real money, you got to bring a skill to the table, or you got to go get you an education, or you got to get it. Us people that have got skills, or us people that have education, aren't going to get the sympathy card out and say, well, I guess you're right. You should make more money an hour. No, you shouldn't. Guess what? If you want more money, you're going to have to prove you deserve more. And that's, unfortunately, that's tough facts. I started off with minimum wage, too. There was a time where I had to have two minimum wage jobs to make it in this world.
But you know something,
and I gladly did it.
But you know something very interesting? Other countries have minimum wages. We're not the only one that does.
And most of them are well below ours.
That's wrong. United Kingdom, Canada, which has the socialized medicine people jump up and down about, Canada, mm-hmm. Netherlands, New Zealand, Ireland, Belgium, France, Luxembourg, and Australia all have higher minimum wages than us. The minimum wage in Canada is $9.85. They have government-controlled medicine that is supposed to bankrupt the government, and yet their minimum wage is higher than ours. And they're just they're 20 miles, 2 hours to the north of us? Why is that?
I don't know. Like I said, I can't answer all the questions on the countries and what have you in life. I'm just to the point that, like I said, a lot of us that have went out and gotten a good skill, a trade of some sort, have worked very hard on it, aren't really ready to say, well, Joey, you're ready for $15 an hour.
But I'm not saying $15 an hour.
That's making us a little upset here. A lot of us are saying, no, you're right, you shouldn't make 8, you should make 12 or 13. That's $5.
What I'm saying is that somebody should figure out what the living wage is, and that should be the minimum wage, whatever that is. And if you can answer the question that I asked the gentleman earlier, please do. Why is it that you can drive down Route 95 in Marion today and you will see help wanted signs at McDonald's, at Kroger, at Walmart, and two or three gas stations and some restaurants? You can get a job there. It will be minimum wage starting out. But in today's Marion Star, there's front page story, Whirlpool to hire 150 people. I will guarantee you in 30 days from when they start taking applications, those jobs will be gone.
They're not going to make $8 an hour.
They're not going to make minimum starting in. You're right. And that's why they take the job. It's not that people don't want to work. It's not that
Absolutely.
People...
It's but they're not... They're going to get 300 applications, probably. Out of those 300 applications, they're only going to take the 150 best.
Right, but my question is what you have said now that people are willing to take those jobs because the wages are higher. So that being said,
and the work's better. And the work's better. Let's face it.
Okay,
and the work's better. Working at Whirlpool versus working at Kroger is night and day.
Okay, so that being said, then if we raise the minimum wage where Kroger or Walmart or McDonald's could not pay you below the legal the living wage, then it would be on the front page of the paper, McDonald's to hire 150. How come the Marion Star doesn't put on the front page of the paper that McDonald's is hiring, that Walmart's
those
hiring?
Those jobs are always going to hire. They always have for the last 50 years because nobody wants to sit there and flip burgers for a living.
Because
you
the
do
living
it because
is...
You, I mean, nobody wants to.
If you paid somebody $15, which McDonald's could do, to flip burgers,
yes,
they would flip burgers.
They would still have a high turnover because look at the job you're talking about versus you look at a Whirlpool where you'd have a nice skilled job, you would have a lot better environment than you're going to be at Walmart, where you mess something up and somebody's coming screaming and yelling at you.
Well,
what have you.
I'd only say this to you on that, and I appreciate the conversation, but the worst job I think you could have that would be very difficult is a garbage man. Much more difficult than flipping.
I don't know.
And it's a very difficult
job. I take the difference on that, but I don't know. I worked plenty of bad jobs while I worked at Kroger, too. So, I mean, you know, I don't know.
But I'll tell you what, if you went to the garbage men today and say, we're going to pay you minimum wage, you would have a need for garbage men because they would all quit.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely right.
And if you go to somebody at McDonald's and say, you're going to flip burgers for $8, well, you know, they're not going to do it. But if you say we're going to flip them for $15 and you're leaving the minimum wage at $8, I bet you're going to have a lot more burger flippers.
But one thing I will say that the guy did make a greater point about is the fact that we allow it for you to have a choice, and we shouldn't be allowed to have a choice. It's either you have a job or you don't get your food stamps. That has got to be where our mindset's got to be in life. I have no problem helping somebody out. But you know what? If you don't want to help yourself out, we just can't help you.
Well, that's okay. But again, we have to go back to the idea of, is if that person has a child, you know, there are limits on this. If you go to the community action...
We'll find someone to raise them if you don't want to raise your children. I mean, you know, I hate to say it that way, but, you know, on the flip side of it, guys, you know, in the 1900s, when our country was at its best, families knew, hey, we have to work our butt off to stay together.
Right,
and
but
that's
would
what it was. You didn't have people just saying, "Oh, don't worry about it."
But I would also point out to you that in the 1950s, most families, heads of family, which were the men back then, were not making minimum wage, and the wife was staying home to raise the kid because she could afford to.
But we also had jobs here in the country that we could depend on. There was plenty of Whirlpool jobs.
There you go. And that's what's going on. If we do not have high-paying jobs, we do not have a workforce that can take care of families. I think we're in agreement on that. So how do you get...
I do agree with you on that part. That's 100%. But one thing I don't agree on is the fact that if you're an unskilled worker, expect to make unskilled wages.
Well,
and that's just the facts, and that's what I try to tell all my teens and my youth groups and stuff like that. I say, look, guys, you ain't got to get a master's degree, but you have to have some type of skill that you can offer that the next guy down the street that just may not have. If it's put milk here, you know, anybody can do that, and then you're going to just get paid bottom line money.
Well, let me just ask you this in parting here. Why is it always that the local companies, like the gentleman who called in earlier on, starts his people out at better than minimum wage,
right?
And government jobs certainly pay better than minimum wage, but if you look at the jobs that are paying minimum wage, Walmart, McDonald's, Kroger, $1 billion in profit every year, they can pay you better than that. So why do we defend those companies?
Well, we don't. I guess the reason I defend them is the fact that that guy said it over and over. He pays skilled workers, so he can't just say, "Hey, you know what? I got an opening here. Bring in anybody in the world, and I can train them to do the job." No, he's got to have somebody that's already has a skill to him.
Right, but I would say
anybody to go put that loaf of bread right over there.
I think a skilled worker is somebody who's been trained, and I think if you go to the culinary department out at Tri Rivers, they would tell you that food is a culinary art, that there is some skill to that, and that maintenance is a culinary art, that you got to be trained in your job. So all I'm saying is it's awful interesting that the companies that seem to pay the worst are the companies that make the biggest profits. So
right.
Where is the trickle down? Where's the trickle down there?
I understand. I agree with that aspect of what you're saying. It's just that if you want to get ahead in this life, you just got to have some type of skill that companies can't just push you around in.
I would agree with you on that. The less people who can do what you do, if you do something special, you're bound to have a job. Thank you for listening and calling in.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. But we can let one more phone call in if you've been itching to get in. 740-383-9944. What a fun day this has been. The calls have been great, and we... of course, we'll continue on with programming here on WWGH Radio. Give us a call, 740-383-9944. If you have something to say off that call, we can get you in real quick. 740-383-9944. Where the talking place here. See, you probably should remember the slogan. 740-383-9944. Boy, we have had some fun today. Well, looks like that's going to be all if nobody's going to ring the bell and have some opinion on something that's going on, but it has been fun. We'll come back and do it again tomorrow, the two-year anniversary, 12:10 to 1 p.m. tomorrow, right here on WWGH Radio, followed by the Faye Bank Charlie Evers Show from 1:10 to 3 p.m. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout. Remember, you can always email me, scott@wwgh1071.com.
386-5466. Website, www.blacktiemarian.com.